Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you from a glorious Vancouver spring morning. I have the opportunity today to speak with a colleague from the Netherlands, Monica van der Ridder, who is an educational scientist and senior advisor for medical education at Albert Schweitzer Hospital in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And the work that she has coming up for publication in medical education in July 2015. It's actually part of a PhD dissertation that she's putting the final bows on, ready for submission so that she can defend it orally right around the same time that this podcast will be released. So it seems like an apropos time to wish her congratulations, even though there's still a little bit of work to be done. But thank you for making the time in this busy period, Monica, for chatting with me. The paper that you have coming out, you know, is titled Variables That Affect the Process and Outcome of Feedback, a Meta-Review. And the title alone raises a couple of very obvious questions, for me at least, the first of which is, with over a century of research into feedback and many reviews having been published both within medical education and outside the field, what led you to believe that another review was required?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And that really is a good point that you bring in. You know, what you said, it's already a century of feedback research that's going on. And what we know from the many reviews that come out is that feedback has an effect, but the impact is small. So we have now a long time of feedback research already, but why do we not know exactly why the impact of feedback is still small? And then more precisely, why don't we know exactly what variables are influencing the feedback process or the feedback effect? And then what you also mentioned, feedback is not only done in the medical education field, but in many different fields, like in communication, psychology, in sociology, in medical fields. And then you wonder, what are the findings from those different disciplines? And can merging the findings from the different disciplines together shine a light on the fact why the impact of feedback is often small? And the whole thing is people perceive feedback as very important and they see it as a very important tool for instruction. But why is that impact small? And then we undertook that meta review. So we did go over many different reviews and meta analysis from different fields. And we have tried to sort out all the variables that were mentioned, not only influencing the feedback effect, but also the process of feedback. And I see feedback as the moment that you communicate your message to a learner, but it's part of a whole process, so to say, because you only can give feedback when there is a certain task that a learner performs and when there is a certain observation that the feedback provider did. That can be reading something, that can be observing one-to-one. And then you have the phase of the feedback communication, and while the feedback is communicated, you have the phase of feedback reception and perception. And that all has an impact on the feedback effect, and it's not only the moment that you communicate.
And some will argue that looking at the process might be a step backwards, in that if the process isn't yielding a positive outcome, or if we can't tell how big an effect the feedback process has, then maybe the process itself is less relevant. Were you trying to directly link process variables to outcomes at the same time, or were you trying to treat those two aspects separately?
No, you know, with common knowledge, we all think the feedback process is influencing the feedback effect. But actually, when you look at the literature, and we have mapped that in one of the tables in our article, it was very interesting to see that there are variables that are related to the first task performance that have that affect the feedback effect. There are also variables that are related to the communication of feedback, and it's clearly that they affect the feedback effect as well. But for example, when you look at variables related to observation, and that was one thing that struck me, is there are many studies that focus on having a valid and reliable checklist for observation, but we did not find many studies that had a direct relation with the feedback effect. For example, I was expecting to find outcomes, for example, when you have a reliable and valid observational checklist, that the feedback effect would be higher. But as far as we could see in the reviews and the meta-analysis included in our studies, there was no study focusing on that.
Well, and so let's get into some of those details, but to do that, I think I need to ask the second question that seemed obvious to me from your title alone, which is you've labeled this paper a meta review. Can you tell our listeners what a meta review is, given that it's not something that is highly prevalent in the literature?
Yeah, so what we did is we synthesized different literature reviews, some more systematically, a meta-analysis together. So you could say we reviewed different type of reviews, and that's kind of what we call the meta review, because it's kind of the higher level than the review, and it's synthesizing all the outcomes of the review in a meta analysis. And what you said, that it's not well described, at least not when we started 5 or 6 years ago with doing this meta review, it was quite hard to perform.
And so this began 5 or 6 years ago, and it's not surprising that it took that long given the amount of effort that's clearly represented in this paper. What are the challenges in performing this sort of work?
You know, it's a lot of different information you get. It's different in a way that it's presented to the readers, because a systematic review or a meta-analysis does give different information compared to a narrative review, for example. And so there's one challenge: how do you synthesize these different types of information? But the other thing is, we said we did not only want to focus on the feedback effect, so the difference between a first and a second performance, but also on the feedback process, so the process that lays before the feedback effect. And then you have to find a very systematic way on how to analyze your different outcomes and then do it in such a way that it can be repeatable. And that was one of the hardest parts, because sometimes you can do things on gut feeling, but that isn't repeatable. You have to make it very obvious. That has helped us a lot with focusing on the dependent variables of all the different studies. And when we knew the dependent variables that were researched in the studies, we categorized the dependent variables or related to the phases in the feedback process and to the feedback effect. And once we had categorized all the studies based on the dependent variables, we did a second step and we looked at the independent variables that were influencing those dependent variables. Mm-hmm. Because that gave us information, for example, if a study had a dependent variable which had to do with communicational feedback, we knew which independent variables were influencing the communication of the feedback. And then the point that was really hard was, then you get so much fragmented information and you see that the independent variables, authors from different disciplines label it differently. And it had the same kind of content but a different name, or the same type of concept but a different name. So what our next step was then was trying to categorize all the different independent variables without losing information. That was a struggle.
Yeah, it's an amazing effort. And having gone through all that, you came up with what appears to be a fairly straightforward model, at least in terms of an organizing framework for how you're able to start trying to make sense of these variables. Can you describe the phases that you just alluded to for our listeners?
So do you mean the 8-step phase in the feedback method, or do you mean the model in which all the outcomes are categorized?
I was thinking of the latter, but we should maybe spend a couple of minutes talking about both.
So I explained 2 steps of the method already. Of course, like in every review, you start with formulating inclusion and exclusion criteria, and that is what we did with our collaborators together. And we were going through all the reviews and meta-analysis to see if they fitted. And then when we had formulated our inclusion and exclusion criteria, then already you have done quite a bit, because then you know what you're looking for. And then what we then, after that, we were categorizing the dependent variables. And then we related them to the 4 phases of the feedback process and the feedback effect. After that, we made sure we agreed on findings to make sure that every study is in the right phase. What we then did was we tried to determine whether or not an independent variable was influencing or not, because sometimes independent variables are mentioned in a study, but the outcome is that they don't influence the dependent variables. So we focused only on those independent variables that really influence the dependent variable. And then what was very interesting to see, that in some studies we find contradicting findings. So in one study, for example, they said timing had an influence of feedback, and in other studies they did not find timing. or they found a negative finding, so that if the time between your feedback and when the performance had been done was too large, the effect was negative or positive. So there was some contradiction. So in our study, we described a couple of variables that have a very clear influence on feedback, and that could be on the feedback process or the feedback effect. But there are many variables. We know they have an effect, but we can't say in which way they affect the feedback effect or the feedback process. And I think this is a very interesting category of variables, because we need more research on that for sure. But also it illustrates that you never can put all the feedback studies on one big pile. You really have to evaluate them in their own context. And that makes the feedback research complicated as well.
Right. And can you tell us a bit about those outcomes or those categories that you found yourself having to use?
Yeah, we found different variables that were influencing the task. So we noticed, for example, that the task performance was influenced by culture and context. If the feedback provider and if the feedback recipient had the same cultural backgrounds, then in general, we noticed that the performance rating were much higher than the feedback recipient and the feedback provider had a different cultural background. We noticed, for example, also when the feedback providers were really familiar with the task, so had a high task familiarity, this was increasing the agreements among different supervisors in their ratings. What we also noticed, when the feedback provider had time to build a relationship with the feedback recipient, we noticed, and there was one dependent variable, that the correlation between a subjective measure and an objective measure of outcome performance were much higher. And for example, to make it more specific, a subjective measure of performance could be more or less my impression of how a person was doing, so more a global rating, while an objective measure could be if he did his performance in a certain standardized time, or if he was meeting the goals he had to meet. Mm-hmm. So these are examples of variables that had quite a clear direction. Also many of the variables that did not have a clear direction, and I mentioned already the timing of feedback. So in some tasks, for example, in sports tasks, feedback should be given not directly after the performance, because, for example, throwing a ball, the learner first have to let it sink in for a while, and then you give your feedback. And if you do it too short after the performance or too long, makes a difference whether or not feedback is effective or not. Now, in the medical field, we are not used to looking this way. And we all say when we give feedback, don't do it too long after the performance. But we don't have a certain time that we can say, like do it 10 minutes or an hour or at the end of the day. We all know it has an effect, but we can't say, okay, this is the ideal time. And that makes that we know this variable, it's important, but we don't know what is the best time to give feedback. And there are more variables that show this kind of pattern that you don't know exactly what we should do. We know it is important, it's a variable that affects the feedback effect, but we don't know exactly how.
Right. So one way of grappling with that is to say that maybe there is no one absolute best, and then that context will have an influence. And I think that's what you're alluding to here, is that in different situations you might get very different effects. It raises the important question of the practical implications for the faculty who, in your professional role, you're trying to develop these individuals and help them take advantage of what's been learned about feedback in their own educational practices. Most of them aren't going to have 6 years to spend really delving into a literature like this the way that you have. And even having spent 6 years, how do we take such a complicated issue and unclear literature in terms of there not being one specific algorithm that one can follow? How do we turn that into something that will be meaningful for the frontline educators who really need the key messages?
Yeah, this study shows that the feedback process is very important. It's not only about the phase of communicating your feedback, but really every phase before the communication, and also the point, like when you have said to the learner, okay, this and this is your feedback, it's not finished, because the feedback is received by the learner. And in faculty development, we see a lot of focus on trainings for feedback providers. It's very important. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen that many trainings on how to receive feedback.
Right.
And that is one part I think we should pay much more attention to. When I provide courses on feedback providing, I ask feedback providers often, have you ever checked how your message is perceived by the learner? And in general, people forget to do that. So what they don't do is ask, I've given you your feedback, what are you going to do with it? Because that's one way of checking how the message was perceived, because you can see if a learner is able to bring into practice what you have said. And this question can also be very helpful to see which aspects of the feedback a learner is going to use. And if the message comes across wrong, you can still correct it. And then the next time, you are not surprised that the feedback worked, or you're not surprised why the feedback didn't give the effect that you were hoping for. So that is one practical aspect. And the other thing is also, as a feedback provider, we focus a lot on the communication itself, but we forget how important it is, for example, to observe very well. And paying attention to the first two phases of the feedback process, so the task performance and the observation of it, is important too.
That's very good advice, and I think likely a good note for us to wrap up on, because your message did come across well, and the additional details for such a complicated paper people are going to have to go and read up upon. But it is fantastic that so much effort led to such insights and very real practical applications that people can read more about in the paper. So I'm going to again thank you for your time and for this excellent review of the literature. My question at the start was a bit of a setup, because I obviously knew that this paper made a substantial contribution to a topic that has already been turned around many, many times. And I think you should feel great about that effort, and I'm very happy for you that it's led to a successful PhD.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, it was a pleasure to do.
Good. I'm glad. I'll just remind our listeners by way of closing then that the paper we've been discussing is coming out in the July 2015 issue of Medical Education, and it's entitled Variables That Affect the Process and Outcome of Feedback, a Meta-Review. And Monica van der Ridder is the first author who has made herself available to talk with me today despite a very busy period in her life. So thanks again for listening, and we will be back again next month.